This passage of Scripture that we just read, the very famous passage of Scripture, where the Lord, it's called the feeding of the 5,000. I'm sure that you have heard of this, where Jesus took the loaves and multiplied them and gave them to everyone. Now, one thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is everything He does is intentional, designed to teach us something. So this is the Lord's classroom. Okay? And His classroom this morning was multi-sensory. They had the bread, they had the Lord, they had the instructions. And then you know what's interesting? After the lesson, they had a lab. And they had to go apply the lessons that He learned. And there's two groups of people in this passage. I want you to look here in verse 2. What the Lord says in verse 2, John chapter 6 and verse 2, He says, and a great multitude followed Him. Okay, one person is just a dude. Two or more people are a multitude. I don't know if that's correct, but what I'm saying is this is a group of people. Okay, and they follow Him, but they, and then the other group of people is in verse 3, and it says, and Jesus went up a mountain and sat there with His disciples. Okay? So the multitude, these are the ones that they're curious. They're questioning. Maybe that's you this morning. You're like, you know, maybe there's something to Jesus. Maybe there's something in the Bible. Maybe there's something to all of that. And so they're there because they're investigating, they're questioning. But they haven't believed yet. They haven't settled it in their heart yet that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. They're like, maybe there's many ways. Maybe this is the answer, but maybe not. They don't know. And a lot of people in our society, and if people were honest, even in our churches are there. They are like the multitudes. They have not settled it. They're just trying to figure things out, but they don't have eternal life yet. And we know that because of the rest of the passage. They don't have eternal life yet. And, you know, they're like the people that, how can I help you, sir? Oh, we're just looking. We're just looking. But we're not ready to buy yet. We're not ready to sign off. We're just looking just to see what's out there. Okay? Well, the other group of people is the disciples. And the disciples are the ones that already learned what the crowd needed to learn, that Jesus is the answer for eternal life. The disciples have already learned that. They've already decided that Jesus is my purpose. When I wake up in the morning, my purpose is to please Jesus. When I walk, my purpose is to follow Jesus. He is where my hope lies. And they're there with Jesus, and nothing can shake them from that. At the end of this passage, a lot of people got offended at Jesus and walked away. And Jesus looked at His disciples, the ones He's sitting there with, and He said, will you also go away? And you know what Peter said? Well, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. I may not understand now, but any hope of understanding I have is in Jesus. And that's the disciples. They're committed. And maybe that's you. You've trusted Jesus. You've believed in Jesus. You have found eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your Savior. But you look around and you see problems and you're not sure what you should do. You've learned that He's the answer for eternal life, but you need to learn that Jesus is also the answer for regular life. The crowd needed to learn that He's the answer for eternal life. The disciples needed to learn that Jesus was the answer for earthly life. And the multitude had to learn what salvation was. And they had one task. They had one task, one question on the final exam was this: how do I get eternal life? And the answer was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples had to learn that Jesus is the solution to all problems, and their task was to look to Him and learn to bring Him into their situation. And Jesus uses this one event to teach them both the lesson through the feeding of the 5,000, and then He applies it with the lab. Okay, so we're going to look at how Jesus tries to bring them to this decision. And so the first we're going to look at is the crowd or the multitude. And I want you to look carefully here in John chapter 6 and verse 1 and see what He says to this great company. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. So the reason that they began investigating is because they saw what Jesus did, and they thought, that's interesting. You know, I'm not diseased myself, but I would like to see Him do this. This is like a magic show. This is like Penn Teller. Like, what is He going to do? And you know, Luke chapter 23 and verse 8 talks about Herod, and Herod was the same way. He said he heard a lot of things about Jesus right before He was crucified, and he said, send Him here because he hoped to see Jesus do a miracle. He's the same man that beheaded John the Baptist. He was not interested in the truth. He was not interested in who Jesus meant to him. He wanted to see Jesus and investigate for entertainment purposes. And do you know there's a lot of people that seek Jesus for entertainment purposes? They go because they, He's just an interesting character. He's a historical character, and they love history. They love how the history of the Bible interacts with the history of the Roman Empire. And they like to talk about Him, but they do not actually believe that Jesus can help them. And their question would be, who is Jesus? Why should I believe? Why should I believe in Jesus? I mean, what I'm doing now works pretty good for me. You know, I'm glad that's working for you. And some people need church, and they need a crutch because they're weak. And other people are like me. But it's really interesting. It's fascinating to me. You know, Jesus was a great teacher, and I just like the archaeology. And let's see what He does. You know, I like to watch those people do these things, and He heals those that were diseased. And I'm just fascinated by the psychology about how these weak people can find help in Jesus. And that's what they're doing. They're the Jordan Petersons of this world who want to watch, but they're not interested in being healed themselves because they don't find a need. And even so, you know, Jesus says, if you seek me, you'll find me. You might not like what you find when you do find him. And you might lose him again and have to find him again. But he, in his goodness, still sat them down to try to teach them something. Look in verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. These are like just a few loaves. And he gives them to the disciples, and he said, now go give it to them. And as every time they broke it off, there was more left. And look what happened. And the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes as much as they would. And so, you know what Jesus is showing them? I can do for you what no one else can. I can satisfy you. I can fill your hunger. You can eat as much as you want, and there will be left over, and there's enough for everyone. I did not leave you out. And if you're here today and you are not satisfied, can I tell you that Jesus can satisfy? And there's enough for me, and there's enough for Brother Phil and Pastor Ashton, and there is enough for you. And all you got to do is sit down. You don't need to do anything. He did it all for you. Just sit down. And God will give to you, and He will satisfy you. And, but you know what happens when you seek Jesus for the wrong reason? You come to the wrong conclusion. Look at verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." That's true. But guess what? They came to a temporary conclusion. When things were good, and I'm full, Jesus is the answer. But when I'm hungry, I'm not so sure. And you know what the reason is they didn't. Here's the prophecy, and here's where they got that truth from. Deuteronomy 18:18, we'll put it up there. "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee," talking about Moses, "and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." You know, they did not come looking for instructions. They come to see him do a miracle. And when he did it, it clicked with the truth that, hey, this is what Moses said, that God would raise up a prophet like unto me, and Moses gave them bread from heaven, and God is multiplying this bread. This is that prophet. This is the Messiah. But they were focused on the physical, and they weren't looking for instructions. They had an expectation, and if Jesus didn't meet that expectation, then nah, that's not it. And so their conclusion was temporary. You know how I know it was temporary? Because in verse 36, he said, "You have seen me and believed not." It was a temporary conclusion. It changed when things went against them. Are your conclusions about Jesus ever temporary? Do you believe one thing when things are good, but when things are bad, you stop believing it? A lot of people do that. When you seek Jesus for the wrong reason, it's not only temporary, but you come to a pragmatic conclusion. Look at verse 15, and this is one of the most incredible verses to me. It says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Look at that first part. When Jesus perceived, they didn't say. He just knew. Can I say Jesus knows why I'm here? Jesus knows why you're here. And Jesus knows what you're looking for. And you don't have to tell. Maybe you don't even know. But he knows. When he perceived, he knows when people are seeking him for the wrong reasons. That they would come and take him by force and make him a king. Well, isn't that who Jesus is? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you ever heard someone say, "I'm going to make Jesus king of my life"? I'm going to make him my Savior? Well, you know what they were thinking? This is efficient. I mean, look, he just takes these loaves and multiplies them, and like we can get rid of our ovens. We don't have to start baking. Man, I think if we just get Jesus to be our king, like this will revolutionize our economy and our life. Man, this is going to be good for me. So you know what I want to do? I want to make him a king. So Jesus, come here, and I'm going to let you be king, and you govern the bread. Okay? You have authority over the bread, and I'm going to give you that authority, and I want to make you king. Do you know you can't make Jesus king? He is the king. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't make him Savior. He is the Savior. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for acknowledgement and submission. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the King, and I will submit to him and say, what do you want me to do? I will follow you. But you know what people do is they... Jesus, listen, Jesus... Have you ever found Jesus elusive? Have you? A lot of people say, you know, I can't find him. I talk to him and I just don't sense him in my life. And you know why that is? Because you're seeking him for the wrong reason. Guess what? They were not looking for a king. They were looking for a baker. They were looking for a baker. And you know what Jesus left? Jesus will depart from people that want to relegate his role to that of a baker. What is Jesus to you? Do you seek him because he's a good banker? Because he's a good banker? A good baker? Do you seek him because he's a good bodyguard? He offers protection. Do you seek him because he's good at being Cupid? But you know what you want to do? You want to maintain control. You don't want to take orders. And you find him elusive. And you know what happens? The reason that you notice he's gone is because you got hungry. They didn't even know Jesus was missing until they woke up in the morning and their bellies started to grumble. They're like, you know what would be good right now? Pancakes. I want some pancakes. Where's Jesus? Remember, we made him king? We made him the baker? Oh, he's missing. If Jesus would have kept baking, they never would have discovered that they were seeking him for the wrong reason. Sometimes Jesus has to stop being your banker. He has to stop being your bodyguard. And the reason he stops is so you can wake up to the fact that you don't really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're looking for him to do something for you, but you haven't recognized that he's the king and fell before him. And say, I believe you whether you bake or not. And so, the day following, verse 22, they find that he's missing. And verse 24, they saw he wasn't there, so they took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him, they said unto him, Rabbi, what happened to King? Why did you come here? Why did you... Listen, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Remember? We gave you authority over the pancakes and... Like, why did you come here? You can't give us bread from here. What are you doing over here? Shipping is what we do when Jesus hasn't done what we believe he's supposed to do. So you go find him to reprimand him. And Jesus answered, verse 26, and them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles." They thought that's why they were seeking him. They really thought that's why it was. Because the miracles said he was God. But he said, "You did not seek me for this, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." And the point is, you should not be seeking the physical from Jesus. You should be seeking the spiritual. I am the bread of life. I am what satisfied. It's not what I give you. I'm the King. Many people wrestle with God when He lets them down, but God never let anybody down. They just had the wrong idea about who He was. He said, verse 27, "Labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed." What are you working to get from God, physical or spiritual? And they said, verse 28, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" And look, here's your job. This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom Thou hast sent. Whether He bakes or not. You know, the problem is people are looking to Jesus for answers, for their hunger, but they're not looking for eternal life and spiritual things. They want answers in this world for 80 years, but they're not looking for answers millions of years from now. You know what? Jesus can give you the answers for a billion years from now, but you're not interested. You want answers for today. And they keep trying to call the shots. And that's the problem with this. The answer is not physical needs being met, it's spiritual needs. And if your expectations are all about this life, then Jesus is going to disappoint you. And He will make you angry. And He will misbehave. And but He's trying to get your attention. And you have to let go of your ideas and get His ideas. And you have to let go of your instructions and ask Him for instructions. And you have to stop going there for answers and understanding, but for instructions. And eventually you'll understand. Just go for instructions. Don't ask how or why. Ask, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" You just need to believe. That's it. All right, now let's look at the disciples. And so they're in this thing in verse 5, and Jesus sees this multitude. And look what He says at the end of verse 5. He said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" God doesn't ask men questions because He doesn't know what to do. And look what He says. And He said this to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. That's a profound thought. Whatever your problem is, God knows what He's going to do about it. But you don't. But He's trying to prove you. And look at Philip's answer. He said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every man may take a little. So the disciples, they had a different problem than the crowd. They already knew that Jesus was the answer and the way to eternal life. But they had to learn how to obey Him and look to Him in a practical way for understanding about this life. The disciples had to learn how to think and bring heavenly thinking to earthly problems. And so He's trying to teach this. They had to learn how to use and appropriate the eternal life that He gave them, and to do that thing that Jesus was asking. So Jesus has them in this situation, and He asks them about something that is not humanly possible to do. And this is to train you and grow you in your spiritual thinking. When you're in a situation that is not humanly possible, Jesus is trying to grow your thinking. And so Philip looked at his problem, as we all do when we start out being his disciples, and look how he answers, verse 7. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. Even if I worked for 200 days and I gave all of my wages for that 200 days, that wouldn't be enough to feed everybody. And even if I could do that, there's nowhere for me to go buy the bread. So, you know, it's not possible. I just don't see how I'm going to do it. You know, I just don't see how you're expecting me to do this. And God, I don't understand how you're trying to expect me to solve this crisis. It's too big. And you know what his temptation was, as it is ours, to lie on human effort. And you can't solve spiritual problems with human effort alone. And the temptation for all of us is to look at our situations instead of looking to the Savior. And so, you know what he says, Andrew says, there's a lad here, you know, and he has these five loaves and two small fishes, but, you know, what are they among so many? And I imagine this conversation, so Philip's having this serious conversation with Jesus about what they're doing, and Andrew comes over and he's like, hey, there's a lad with five, but what are they going to do? And it's like, what? Anyway, you know? And but you know the temptation is I don't have the resources. I don't have the strength. I don't have what I need within me to accomplish this thing. And I want you to think about the situations that you're going through that burden your heart. And you just look at them and you say, this is impossible. I don't have the strength. I don't have the resources. I don't have the ability to do this. And that's our temptation. And you know what you need to do and you need to focus on in that situation? Look at verse 10. Make the men sit down. Look to Jesus and obey. Focus on obedience. Focus on the instruction that he's given to you to do. Say, I don't know what to do next, but I am going to obey Jesus. And I'm just going to do this first thing. And so whenever the situation is overwhelming, focus on obedience. Then verse 11, he took the loaves and he blessed them and he multiplied them. And he said, gather the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. So you have to learn to give instead of get. The answer is not in getting more. It's in giving. God, there's this situation, and there's nothing I can do about it, but you know what I have? I have some prayer, and I can give that to you. I have some effort here I can do, and I can give that to you. And God, would you bless that? And would you multiply that? God, all I have is myself, and I can give myself for this. Lord, would you bless? Would you help? And when you give, God can give too. Because your hands are no longer full and he can give you something. And the reason he can't give you more is because you haven't turned loose of what you already have. And so he does that, and then guess what Philip is doing at the end of this? He's holding a basket with all these things left over. Jesus knew that. When he asked them the question, what are we going to do? And Philip was like, oh, there's nothing I can do. And Jesus saw Philip standing there with a basket full of abundance and what was left over instead of a need. And you know, if you look at your problem, I don't know what it is, maybe it's a financial problem, you see, I don't have the resources. But through obedience and following Jesus, you know what he sees? He sees you have a pocketbook with money that you're like, I got to figure out what to do with this. You know, maybe you're facing a health problem and you're like, what? God will give you spiritual things in that will be so precious. You'll have such a big bundle and basket of spiritual lessons that you can give to other people. Maybe you look at your relationships and you're like, there's nothing I can do about that. That's impossible. And you know what? God sees you standing there with a basket full of like, oh man, the Lord helped and He solved. And you know what? Let me give you this. This is how God helped me. And one for you and one for you. Fragments for everybody. And that's what He sees. You see the lack and God sees the provision and the abundance. And so, whatever you're facing. And then, you know what happens? He sends them down to the ship. Okay? And they're rowing, and the wind is coming up, and it's dark, and they row about 3.5 miles, and they're not getting anywhere. And the other passage says that Jesus went into a mountain to pray, and He saw them toiling. That the wind was contrary to them. And He sees them there working and working and working. And then He comes walking to them on the water. And He said, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. And they're like, Jesus, could you come get in the boat with us? Can you come in the boat? And they got in the boat, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. You have to learn how to get Jesus in your boat. He sees you toiling against the winds of this contrary world. He sees you rowing, and He sees you struggling. And He's watching you. And He cares about you. And His heart is towards you. And He knows what He's going to do about your situation. You don't. But He's watching. And you know what He's waiting for? Come get in the boat. Can you come help me? And I don't know what you're facing. It's different for every one of us. But I can just tell you, as disciples, as Christians, we look at the situations and we say, this is impossible. I cannot. I am a sinful man. I am a terrible person. I don't have the discipline. I don't have what it takes. And you work and you struggle and you struggle. And you say, if I can just learn to bake better, and if I can learn to bake faster, if I can learn to row harder. And Jesus is saying, look, human effort's only going to get you in circles. You know? Why don't you just get me in the boat and we'll just be there? Okay? And I want you to invite the Lord into the boat of your problems. And I want you to learn what He was teaching them. Stop looking outward to the world and yourself and the little lad and look to Jesus. Amen? Let's learn to appropriate the eternal life in this life. Amen. And so I'm going to have the piano player come forward and we'll pray. And as we bow our heads and close our eyes, I just want you to listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to what God is saying to you. I've said some things, but God has said some things to you. The Spirit of God. And maybe He's saying to you, I am the answer. Believe on me. Jesus died for you. And He paid for all of your sins. And you just have to sit down and receive the bread of life. And say, Lord, would You satisfy me? Would You save me? Lord, I'm a sinful man, but You've done everything that's needed. You are the answer. And it's nothing else. Lord, I believe You. And if that's you and you've never trusted Christ, why don't you just bow before Him and say, look, I'm not going to make You the king. You are the king. I trust You. I believe You. I know You died for me and You're the answer. Lord, thank You for saving me. And if you're here and you're just looking at these circumstances and you tend to despair and you tend to fear and you tend to be overwhelmed and you just wish you had a better bread factory and a better rowing machine and you were stronger, why don't you this morning say, Lord, would You come get in my boat. I just don't have what it takes, and I need you. And God, I want to give you my boat. And I want to give you my problems. Lord, would you help me?